Father, we thank you this morning, O God, that we can sit in your presence, enjoy the presence of your Holy Spirit, and look in your word and be encouraged and be touched and be moved forward every single time, Father.
Yes, Lord.
I thank you for the words that you've given me. Help me to be diligent. Help me to remember, Holy Spirit, the things that you have told me for this morning and the simple message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I'm happy to share with you this morning. And you know that when I share, I'm always surrounded by people with needs, children with needs. You know, I myself have a lot of needs. So I'm always looking to God as the provider, as the one with whom things are all possible. There's nothing impossible. And I'll just take the word and bang it against everything until it comes to pass. Or even with, you know, that I run a daycare, so even with the kids, you know, they knock their head, oh, in Jesus' name, this must heal. You know, I seldom allow anything to go by without using the Word of God as a tool to bring to my end result. I always have a goal. But today, it's not what I usually share about, but God has put on my heart God's love and our love. God's love and ours is what I'm going to share with you. And I think Monica said something about God's love. We belong. Frederick sang some songs, and it's just moving in the right direction. And God is helping me, just trying to tell me it's okay, you can do it, you know? So in 1 John, we know that we love because God loved us. He loved us first. 1 John 4:19. We know that we love because God loves us. First, he showed us his love, and we, in return, in response to this love, we want to show God some of our love. So I'm going to cover some things, just a few points, because it's a summertime message, you know. I'm going to cover some of the things that we do to respond to God's love. So the love we give God is a very finite love. Everything we ever do is still finite. We understand that. But still, it's the gesture that counts. In some cultures, like in the Asian culture, even if your parents are really rich, you took your first paycheck and you gave a portion to your parents to show them that, children, listen, to show them that you're really grateful for everything they went through, everything you put them through. It's a gesture of everything they did for you. So in for us, we are showing God in what we can do. In our actions, we're showing God how much we love him, but really, it's very, very little. Still, he is pleased. That's what I want you to know. So I'm taking the words from this song, Hallelujah. It says, your love makes me. He says, your love makes me sing. So I'm looking at the things that what God's love makes us do. He makes us sing. We worship God with passion. Passion is defined the degree you are willing to endure towards reaching your goal. So we worship with great passion to a God who loves us. Passion is not volume, although to me, volume in singing and praying high and louder to God does drown your circumstances. In the ocean of worship. So try that. It will drown, like in the world sometimes. Like I have lots of friends that, daycare friends, stay-at-home moms. Once every now and then we'll all go to the Lone Star. We'll go to a restaurant and we'll sit down. And you can see like they are so tired of their kids and the husband and the neighbors and the in-laws that they'll just drink. You know, come on, Dorothy, let's just go. We'll just drown our sorrows, they would say. And it was fine. You know, that's how they just suppress what is too difficult, even if it's for a moment of time. They just want to enjoy either it's numbness or peace or whatever God brings to them, whatever brings this liquid courage brings to their life. They drink. But for us, we are given the new wine of the Holy Spirit to drown those difficulties. You know, if it drowns, it dies. It doesn't come back to life. The circumstances. So through worship, while waiting for our miracle to come through, we worship louder, worship clearer, just with all that is within us. So, you know, like God is not worried if you have a good voice or not. I think a while ago we went to an African church and they gave us little tambourines almost to match our clothes. So you just went in, you shook and went in and nobody bothered. But, you know, so we should be that type of people that don't bother who sings what. They're singing. Just think, you know, today you'll remember this. She's singing loud because she's drowning her sorrows. And Jesus is going to answer them. It's a true word. The scripture in 1 Chronicles 16:11 says, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. And in worship, in worship and in pain, God will turn that pain into passion. You will discover how to walk through the fire, because every day raging fires are before you and you're going to walk through because you have the Lord with you. That's what God promises. But for us, we want to sing your love, because we know that God loves us so much, because we know that his love is so infested with grace, with power, with everything you ever can imagine. We sing. Your love makes me sing. He will put little, you know, God gave me these little words, and last week we were speaking to some people or praying for them, I can't remember, and he said, oh, just say, it was like, say this. He'll put little rainbows and little smiles, you know, figuratively speaking, puts it in your mind just to encourage you, just to give you more power to go forward. He takes away the gloom and doom. This is the God that we believe in. Your love makes me, this is God. He's so good, you know. He makes us sing. I remember, like, I was looking at Book of Acts in chapter 14 and verse 22. I'll read it to you really quick. I'll go from 19 to 22. You'll know why 22 is there. Because of verse 19, it says, then some Jews, some verses say, some evil men came from Antioch and Iconium and won the crowd over. They stoned Paul, dragged him outside the city, thinking he was dead. But after the disciples had gathered around him, he got up and went back to the city. The next day, he and Barnabas left for Derbe. They preached the good news in the city and won a large number of disciples. And they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. You see, they preached, they were doing the work of God, and you would think that God is with them and there should be no troubles because they prayed, they fasted, they did all those things. But you know, Paul, they strengthened the disciples, encouraging them to remain true to the faith. Paul says, we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God, they said. Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church, and with prayer and fasting committed them to the Lord in whom they had put their trust. So you can see that the walk with God is not a straight and easy, peaceful path, but he does promise the peace. He does promise the peace. He will come through every single time. The problem with us is we focus not on how much God loves us, how he's going to come through, because we're in a situation, you know? So tension causes tension to arise. A quick word from your employee will want you to respond with a quick answer. That's the world that we live in. But, you know, to remember that God, it will give us strength. God will give us strength, and by studying this word, by listening to this message, you know that you're being encouraged to stay in the faith, to believe in God. I try to tell these words even to non-Christian people. If you just told them, I feel like if you just told them, well, Jesus saves, you know, they don't know what to relate that to. So if I would say to them, you know, friends that you see every day, sometimes you see people every day for 4 months, for 6 years, and every day you can influence them a little bit by telling them what you believe in. This is what I do. I pray to Jesus. I told a lady there, a Catholic friend, I said to her, you know what? Tell your children to pray to Jesus. They did. So she says, I told my children to pray to Jesus. So little things, you know, just keep depositing in the true word. Your love, you see, God's love makes us give. I'm not collecting tithes or offerings today, but I need you to know that God's love makes me give. When we put our offerings, when we put our tithes, after being discipled, we learn about the different things about giving and sharing and giving our time and visitations. The love of God makes us to reach out. We're trying to give back to God from what he gave us. That's basically what we try to do. And giving is a good thing. If it's advice, giving your time. Some people, I have a friend for 6 years, 6 years, no, 5 years. She calls me every day, 1 hour minimum. She tells me the same thing every day. And I mean, thank God I have time. Kids are sleeping, I listen. Same thing every single day. Dorothy, I cooked. Dorothy, I ate. Dorothy, I went for a walk. Dorothy, the children were giving me a hard time and my husband didn't listen to me. He is not listening at all. He went to work, came home, didn't listen. Same thing every day, 6 years. Now, I can't say that I'm the only one receiving. Sometimes I tell her my problems. Well, she'll just drive a car and turn up at my door. Get in. Let's go. So she does differently from me. But it's an investment of time. And, you know, it took 5 years. And one day she said to me, my husband said to me, Dorothy, that I should tell you I'm bipolar. And I thought, oh, thank God I didn't say, listen, you're telling me the same thing. Did you not think I heard the first time? She said, you know, I have mental illness. And my husband told me, you cannot be a friend to Dorothy without revealing this to him, to her. And I thought, oh, God, thank you. I kept my big mouth shut when it was the right time to do so. You know, sometimes we don't know. It gets tiring if someone just tells you the same thing. But there are problems in this world. And we want to be the people that give because we love. We know God's love. Your love, I felt like when we sang the song, your love makes me belong. Your love makes me belong and belong to a clan, an ethnicity, a group, a job place, a church. Last name is important, you know. You may be a Bog. There may be one Margaret Bog in this room. There may be another Margaret, but it may be Margaret Hodgins, something else. There may be, you know, one Sarah Woods here. I don't think there's another. So the last names are important. You belong. You're identified by the last name that you carry. So you belong to them. Sarah, I saw that. You're Riaz. We changed your plan. It's okay. You know, Psalms 139:4 says, before a word is on my tongue, you knew it completely. That's how mighty our God is. Yeah. Right. And Titus 1:2 describes God who loves us, the God who does not lie, making promises before time began. That's why the word is so good, because when you read it, you know you're anchored, you know? It's going to come through, no matter what you're going through. It will come through. These promises, they are truths. They're too much for me. But you know what? I just believe it. I believe it because he showed his love to me every single time. Even when I said that, you know, we give, your love makes me give. We give with a sort of backdoor thing. You know, I'm going to give seed faith. I'm going to give. I'm going to give because then I'll keep the job. I'm going to give so that you'll watch over me. I'm going to give because we've been trained. We've been haganized with prosperity and good health, which is a good teaching. You can't live in poverty and help the world. It doesn't go together. So even though we give with a kind of kickback, you know, I'm going to give because that's what they taught me. If I give, I will prosper. If I give, all things will go well. It's a true teaching. There is nothing wrong with that. But I'm just trying to show you how limited our love towards God is. Still, he's pleased. That's what you have to remember. He's really pleased. And we belong to this great and mighty God. He's so mighty. You know, I was just reading Matthew 28, verse 2. The angel of the Lord, he appeared, and the guards, it says the guards shook and became like dead men. They were so shocked. And the angel of the Lord said, do not be afraid. Again, in the same chapter, when Jesus appeared at the tomb, he said, do not be afraid. So I'm telling you that God is speaking to you today. He says, do not be afraid. No matter what you're doing, be encouraged. Be encouraged. He says, do not be afraid. I have a little sample. You know, when you are always with kids, you always have to have visual aids. You use every sense, the ears, the eyes, that you can't just like talk and they hear. They won't get it. Maybe in lecture halls they do, but with children, and mostly it's the teachers. They don't have a lot of knowledge, so they have to bring all the paraphernalia in order to teach. Anyway, I got this from someone else, from a good message I heard. She had a jar of jelly beans, and this is what it is. This is your life, a jar of jelly beans. It's complete, it's beautiful, it is, everything about it is good. It's constant, and that is our life. Our life is complete in Christ. Our life is beautiful. It has a purpose, you know? But as we live this life, it is poured out like that. Come on out, little baby. Yeah, in the heat they stick, eh? So it's all poured out. The jelly beans are all poured out. I wash my hands. So it's all poured out. And then you look at it. This is your life. It's beautiful, it's complete, but it's so spread out. And every day you have a problem to solve. Still complete, but still walking through. Still, you know, God is still with us. And God is with us every day because we belong to Him. And what He's trying to do to us is like, okay, with much fasting, with much encouragement, with much prayer, you know, for me in my daily life, change a diaper, be. You know, take the kids for a walk, be. Cook the dinner, be. Clean the house, be. Toilet, be. Clean again, be. And that's my life, right? For instance, if you were praying for a job, you prayed every day. Bean, job, job coming, bean, bean, 7 days, bean, 1 month, bean, oh, 1 month, bean, 2 months, Jesus, bean, 3 months, still bean. Hey, Andrew, bean, 11 months. And then you get the job, bean. And then you work with old, grumpy people. They remind you of your mother and your father. Their hair's gray, they drive sports cars. Lord, help me, bean. Why do they talk like they know everything before I finish? Don't despise my youth, I went to school, I studied, bean. What am I gonna do now, bean? He made me cry, bean. And then you go home. Husband sleeping instead of cooking, bean. Bean. This is our life. This is how God meant it to be, and it will be. Do not be afraid, is what Jesus is saying to us. Remain true to the word. And Paul, he said he strengthened them. He encouraged them. He reminded them to stay in the truth. And that's why we come together, you know, together to share of the grace and love infested things of God. God, it's just about, that's about all I have to say for today. And God is like a mother. And it's a video I'm going to show you. After you watch it, you will know why I threaten to sing that to my children all the time, especially on Mother's Day. If it doesn't work, I will sing, and my kids will be very upset. This preacher actually is speaking about children, and just relate to it as if God is saying this to you, and you'll understand how much He loves you. Oh, you want me to move that? Sure. all, no charge.
My sister's little boy came into the kitchen one evening while she was fixing supper, and he handed her a piece of paper he'd been writing on. And after wiping her hands on an apron, she took it in her hands and she read it, and this is what it said. For more than a yard, $5. If I make it in my own bed this week, $1. For going to the store, 50 cents. And playing with little brother while you went shopping, 25 cents. Take it out the trash, $1. And for getting a good report card, $5. And for raking the yard, $2. Total owed, $14.75. Well, she looked at him standing there expecting, and a thousand memories flashed through her mind. So she picked up the pen and turned the paper over, and this is what she wrote.
Rescue you, and he's pleased with you. That's what you need to know. Thank you.